You are listening to the Living Greater Podcast, and I am your host, Arn Allamond. Together, we are building a community of people helping others to live greater through fitness, nutrition, and health. Hey, everybody. It is, what day is it? It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. This is episode 5. Who knew? I had the funniest experience today as I'm sitting there teaching my students a class. I got this text message from a couple of people. Let's assume I know them. And it's like, hey, dude, when are you going to have us on your podcast? We've got some ideas. And I'm like, right on. I love it. So there you go. I've got my first request already to be on the podcast. Man, I'm flattered. I am flattered. And I'm sure that you guys are going to get introduced down the road. So shout out to the unknown right now. But in all honesty, next week is spring break for me. And that means that I've got a little bit of time to get out and do something I've been wanting to do, which is start interviewing a few people that are just making a huge impact in our community. And so I am really excited. you know, it's so funny. I'm sitting there during the school day and my ideas just keep coming into my mind. And so, you know, I'm focused in on what I'm doing and doing the right thing, right? And trying to enrich my students' lives. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you've got all these thoughts and ideas. So I've got little sticky notes lying around with, oh yeah, I got to talk to this person, got to talk to this person, so on and so forth. But anyway, got some stuff lined up. And like I said, I'm really excited. And I got a few text messages out and just, you know, working on getting some things nailed down. So really just stoked about that. Because like I said, I mean, I want to be able to share my thoughts and ideas and insights and everything, but I also really want to use this podcast just as an opportunity to connect others with people in our community, you know, from a local level that are doing the things that that I dream of, you know, and the things that I think are just making such a huge impact. And what's so amazing is that most of the people that I know that I'm asking, I don't want this to sound good or bad. It amazes me. They're so humble about it. That's what I want to say. They're so humble about it. And I don't know that they recognize what they look like from my eyes. When I see them and I see the impact that they're having in other people's lives, it's just like, man, I want to be part of that in some way, or I want to be able to be in that capacity for other people. So it's exciting. So anyway, super excited. Super excited that there's at least enough people listening that some friends can hit me up and ask when I can make time for them. So really cool. Here's another thing I've got to ask. Wonderful, I'm sure, you know, hearing my voice baritone out at the beginning, but let's be honest, what podcast starts without fabulous music? If anybody out there has some ideas, I was just queuing up Crazy Train, a little Ozzy Osbourne. I thought that was great. I think that the guitar riff intro on Sweet Emotion would be wonderful, and truly there's some kind of just sound effects that I've been playing with that really kind of capture the mood. So those are all things that might be coming in from my side. But if you've got kind of a jam and a vibe and tendency and ability to sling together a track, I wouldn't be disappointed if you were to share that my way and let me have a taste. So that would be super cool because I'm looking for help. Hey, the other thing that's kind of funny is that now that I know that there are at least a couple of people that are listening to at least a portion of my podcast, you get a little anxious. It's a little nerve-wracking. I'm thinking about, okay, what are we going to say? You know what, though? This really wasn't about that to start with. It was about sharing some thoughts and ideas about how to live greater, and I'm really trying to keep that in my mind as I sit down and share my thoughts and ideas. So I do keep a running list of things that pop up during the day. And I know that something's going to just improve and get better and better over time. But the thing that's been hitting me lately and what I want to dive into and chat about today is the The question, who decided that we have to crush ourselves to feel good about something? You know, why is it that something has to be hard to make it worthwhile? And the capacity or context that I'm approaching this question from is the capacity of exercise and working out. So, hey, before you feel the need to send me a bunch of hate mail and be like, hey, man, you're bagging on my hard workouts, or you're bagging on me doing the bacon sizzle after my CrossFit. Nope, not at all. That's not it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work hard. I'm not saying we shouldn't go in the tank and the hole and hurt a little or even hurt a lot. But it's amazing. You know, we get into this mindset I imagine people identify with this, but I'm talking of myself here. Get into this mindset that more is better, and that discomfort is good because it's pushing us forward, right? It's training us, and it's taking us to that next level. But as I've become a more stately gentleman with the passing of a few years and more than a few decades in my life, I've become more wise, I like to think. It's funny, people said that would happen, and truly it is happening. I've become more wise, and I'm approaching things a little bit differently, and I have started to pose the question for myself in regards to exercise and working out: can I accomplish more with less? And all I mean by that is, you know, or I guess what I mean by that is, at a foundational level, is, am I allowing enough recovery time to optimize my workout time? And I've come to view this idea of recovery as almost greater than the workout itself, because I definitely have fallen into that capacity before of working out more, working out harder. If one workout's good, can I possibly fit in two? If an hour workout is good, can I possibly fit in three? You know, if coach says to do three sets of this, should I do five? You know, I mean, it just that mentality just it goes and goes and goes. And I've had a couple of setbacks over the last year that have really made me stop and take a look at that, at least in my own life. But then I've also looked at it from the capacity of others. And I think that there may be an answer there. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do something every day. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work out, but I'm saying that it's okay to go out and go for a low intensity jog, walk, hike, or run. It's okay to scale back on a workout. I've been doing this a lot lately, actually, in the CrossFit gym that I go to at CrossFit E3, and you know, I'm making the decision myself, but I'm basing it off of something that's been shared with me by my coaches there over time, which is, you know, pick a day or two a week that you're going to go hard, that you know these are days you're coming in, you're going to compete. But the other days, gauge it, you know, and maybe you do compete a little bit, but that's not your mentality. You know, your mentality on those other days is growth. It's what can I work on within the workout that's there that's going to make me a better athlete, make me a better person, and not take away from my overall goal, which is improving my physical fitness and my work capacity over time. And we know that happens. I'm pretty new to the CrossFit scene. I mean, it's been a couple of years, but I've got friends that have been doing it now for, you know, 9 years, which is nuts. And when you think about it, they're 9 years older, right? So these are people that, like me, are in their 40s. And so they've been doing this since they were in their 30s. And you know, what I was always told is that as you get older, you don't get better. And it's so funny, because what I've seen is that when they're repeating workouts, when they're repeating open events and stuff like that, so these are like max effort workouts, they're scoring better now than they were then. So why are they doing that? And it's because, you know, they are showing improvement, and we do improve over time. So I believe that in certain capacities we can improve up to a point, right? That we can improve our physical fitness over time. It is different for everybody. I mean, if you're an elite athlete and you're at the top of your game, you know, then you're not going to maintain that forever. But for the vast majority of us, which are not at that, you know, top 1% or that top fraction of a percent, you know what, guys, we can make huge improvements, and it's amazing to make those. Another thing that's really been tying into my mentality on this concept lately of Do we have to crush ourselves? And what does it look like to give everything? Is this idea of being a practice player or a competition player? And then the idea also of in competition, how do you compete? Do you compete all out with reckless abandon, or do you train and practice in such a way that you know what your upper limit is, but you also know that in competition, your upper limit might cause you to make mistakes? And so do you have the ability and the capacity, if you train in such a way that at that upper limit, when you're competing at the highest levels, do you have the ability to scale it back a little bit and still kick ass? You know, excuse the language, sorry, but you know, still crush it, but scale it back just a tear, a titch, to be able to be more consistent. And where this comes into my mind is in the sport of ski racing. I have a ski racing background. I mean, as a kid, that is what I lived for. Every waking hour, that was all I thought about. And I still love the beauty and the power of the sport. Still follow it as much as I can. But you know, for those of you in the know, you'll recognize the name I'm about to mention, but most of you probably don't know her unless you saw her in the Olympics or the world championships, you know, stuff that's televised on TV. But it's Mikayla Shiffrin. She is an American ski racing phenom. I believe she just turned 24 years old. She's been skiing on the World Cup, I think, since she was 16. I think first World Cup win was then. But the point is, she's very young, but she's incredibly talented. She just finished out the 2019 season. She finished with the most wins of any athlete ever in a single season. So I think she closed it out with 17 wins. That's with two wins, I believe, in the season finals this last week. She ended with four overall globes. So the overall, the GS globe, the Super G globe, the slalom globe. There was one other one. Anyway, and is that four? That might be four. I can't count. and what's amazing is that she's done it with this consistency in a sport that is garnered by hundredths of a second at speeds anywhere from 30 to, you know, 70 miles an hour. And they're doing it all with very little protective equipment on their bodies. And they're skiing on ski slopes that have been injected with water. So they're frozen into a solid sheet of ice. And I was chatting with my neighbor the other night, who is hopefully somebody you guys will meet down the road, but he has an incredible background. I've actually worked with the ski team for a number of years and supported some of America's best. Story for another time. But amazing guy. But we were talking about her the other night, and he was talking about athletes at that level. And the question that we talked about is, you know, she can't be going 100% when she's racing, because it just, the margin for error is too great. And so she's got to be scaling it back. And so as we're talking about it, you know, she's probably sitting at, you know, I don't know, 85 to 90% of her actual ability, which is scary considering how much faster she is than other people she's competing against right now. But at the same time, it brought up that idea to me that I'm talking about right now, that idea about, how do we learn our limits, for one? How do we develop and build consistency into our workout programs and our training, number two? How do we know how hard to go? Because, you know, my tendency has always been, I feel like I'm a really good practice player, really good practicer. Like I would be smoking in practices when I was ski racing. I always felt just great splits, whatever. I mean, I feel like I'll have just incredible workouts in the gym, all this stuff. Then, you know, we come into the competition, and I've not often been a great competitor. I feel like I am getting better as I get older because I'm approaching it with more of this calculated and wise mindset. But back in the day, I get into the competition, and it's push, 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 push. It's like, okay, I got to push hard today. But really what I should have been doing is letting that pushing come in practice, developing my limits, and then when we get into the actual event, dial it back, work within what I know I can do, work on being smooth. I think the mentality of the saying that I heard recently is, how does it go? Slow is smooth, or smooth is slow, or no, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast or something like that. I'll get it down. I should write that down. But it's a great one. And the whole idea was that, you know, we're better overall by being more efficient. And if we can be smoother as we move through an athletic event, whether it's, you know, descending on a mountain bike or climbing up a really steep hill, ski racing, running, you know, playing lacrosse, whatever, if we're smooth, while we may not feel like we're going fast, we actually are. We're going to pick up the speed, right? We're going to put things together. We're going to move. And so that's kind of an exciting thought. So anyway, just something to think about, kind of chew on a little bit as you approach your workouts and your efforts. And if you're in a competitive phase of your life, as you approach your competitions, think about how that applies to you, to what you do. And how it could improve you, you know, and approach, I guess, your week and your workouts with that conscious thought of, am I rested? And would today be a better day to go easy? And maybe even sometimes when you do feel rested, would today be a better day to work on consistency, to work on smoothness and let myself feel fresh? There's nothing wrong with training in a fresh state, you know, and training in that good state. We don't have to always be fatigued and drag and tail to make this stuff work. So that's all I've got today. Hopefully there's a little nugget in there that that maybe you can apply somewhere in your life. I know as I'm talking through it, sometimes I fade off a little bit because I'm thinking of other stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great, okay, I need to do that myself. So I'll definitely be applying a lot of these things as I move in. And again, guys, I mean, those of you that are have jumped on and that I've spoken with, thank you so much. I appreciate your support and I'm really excited again to just be able to bring some great value to friends and then people that that I don't know yet, but people that will become friends. I'm just really grateful to be able to have an opportunity to have a voice. And so thank you for that opportunity. Pray that you have a great night. God bless, and we will talk to you soon.